Lunchtime Live with Andrea Gilligan on News Talk.
You are listening to Lunchtime Live with Andrea Gilligan. It's 1800 453 106. That's the number if you want to join us. Sadie Harper is with me on the line today to talk about her remarkable life experience through the Irish foster care system. Because Sadie entered the system before her first birthday. She left at the age of 18. She's now working as a special needs assistant in Wexford and has her own family. But she's here to talk today about her experience of the Irish foster system. Sadie, thank you for joining us the programme. Can you tell us a little bit about your earliest memories of the foster system?
Hi Andrea, thanks a million for having me on. Yeah, so basically basically my mother went into labour on us. I think I was a twin, premature. I think it was about 3 months premature. My sister had a heart condition, so she had to stay in hospital longer. So I know from what I know from reading in my birth files that I did stay in the hospital like for a couple of weeks.
Yeah.
And then I went back to my birth parents. So I separated from Kizzy, my twin sister. And then I went to a children's home called Madonna House Children's Home. I went there for a couple of weeks. And then I went back to my birth family. And then Kizzy then was released from the hospital. So I got reunited back with kids. Sadly, the placement didn't work out with my birth family. So I got moved to we all got moved. I think there was about 7 or 8 of us. We all got moved to the Nuns. And then myself and my twin sister, we went to a foster home on the south side. All my brother and sisters, they all stayed on the north side of Dublin. From what I know, when I went to mum and dad, it was around Christmas time. They had already fostered a child at this time. So my foster parents got a call just to say that we have 2 twins coming up to Christmas. We really need somewhere to go on a short-term placement. Yeah. So it would have been kind of like an emergency foster placement. Now I call my foster parents, my mum and dad. So my mum and dad took myself and my twin sister in, but it was a big panic. Like, twins are coming, we have nowhere to put them.
Days before Christmas, you can imagine now in any house, yeah.
Yeah, and it was a big panic. So we slept in a drawer the first couple of weeks. Right. And it's so funny because all our friends will always say, Kizzy, Sadie, get back into your drawer. Sadly, I suppose, because Kizzy had spent a bit of her life, say, in the hospital, where I think I was kind of being passed around, you know, from pillar to post. My behaviour was different. I was withdrawal. I wasn't responding. My mum and dad will say, like, they were told by professionals, you know, she's handicapped, she can't hear, she's blind, her eyes are like rolling back in her head. And my mum kept saying it's trauma. She doesn't trust her surrounding. I had this like tea towel that I put over my head, and the social workers were saying to my mum, like, if you just put her into the cot, she doesn't like contact, and just feed her underneath the blanket. And my mum and dad found that so hard. Like, they were like, you know, and they were saying, like, eventually they were kind of taking in turns trying to make touch and trying to help me trust. They just found like all the interference, like all the different doctor's appointments, all the stuff. They were bringing me to all these appointments and I wouldn't perform, say. And mum was saying, like, there was a male doctor and he was saying to my mum, like, you know, she's not meeting the
milestones along the way.
Yeah, the norms. You're not doing this, you're not doing this. And my mum was like, look, if I sit her on my lap, she will actually do these things. I know she will, because she has a problem with like trust. And she just, and he was kind of saying to my mum, like, but how do you know? She needs to do it herself. And my mum was telling me that he was actually off leave and there was a woman doctor came in, lovely doctor. And my mum just said one day, would you mind if she just sat on my lap? I know she'll build those towers, she'll do anything you want. Absolutely, the woman said. And there I was, like, I did what she said. Yeah. And mum said, like, she was reading the file and she was shocked herself on what she was reading, what the reports were. And I think you just kind of go in, like I was in my own little bubble. Somewhere in my heart, I think I just felt like I just didn't trust.
Something from a very young age. And obviously, I suppose that sense of security that, as you mentioned, kind of been passed a little bit from pillar to post in the early stage was something that obviously you could feel.
And like when you're a baby and you like you're crying out and nobody picks you up or nobody gives you that attention, you do go into yourself.
How long did you spend with your foster parents that you mentioned as mum and dad?
So I was with them right up to the age of 18.
So you were really with the one foster parents, really, once you went to them?
Well, I was with them right up to 18, but my behaviour, I was having a lot of challenges in school. I was getting into trouble. I was acting out and I was really crying out for help. And I was self-harming at the age of 12. I was getting into trouble. A lot of it now, looking back, would have been normal teenager behaviour. But sadly, I wasn't getting the right support. And I ended up having to go into a respite family for 6 months. So I was separated from my mum and my dad and my twin sister from everything I ever knew.
Yeah.
You know, so.
From that security blanket that was there.
Yeah.
Your experience of the foster system, the care system, Sadie, like now with the benefit of hindsight and with experience and obviously as an adult now, like looking back on it, how would you describe your experience of it?
I feel like I was very misunderstood, right, as a child, where I feel like I was grieving. And I feel like I was grieving for the birth parents that I couldn't have. I was grieving for my siblings. I wonder, do people really realise out there that children are grieving? We don't understand. We don't have the communication to know why we're taking off our families and our parents. And I feel like I just spent so much grieving and I feel like I was misunderstood. Mm. And every time I used to go to Family Access and I used to see my brothers and sister, it was like that last 15 minutes, like we know that we're going to be separated again and don't understand why this is happening to us. Then you feel like you're just grieving all over again. And then you're not told by anyone you're grieving. You have no understanding. Then you have to get up, go to school, just be a normal teenager. And I'd rather be a bold child, but I'd rather I didn't want to be a sick child or a stupid child because I couldn't understand what was going on.
She were a child.
And it was like, I probably like being the class clown rather be the thick or the stupid person in the class, you know, and I think I just could not relax. And one thing, like, I guess I never really understood because mum and dad had us on a long-term placement. And to my understanding, a long-term placement is when you can stay with your family up until the age, your foster family up until the age of your 18.
Mm.
And that's all going, everything is going all right. So mum and dad weren't able to sign like school reports, anything like that. And they had to get permission off my birth parents. So the birth parents still had a lot of rights up to the age of 18. There's so many different things. Like I had to get an eye operation at 7. It took a while for me to get the operation because they had to track down birth parents to sign the papers. Social workers were coming in and out my house. And back then, like they were wearing, like it was quite intimidating in the 80s because they used to wear like suits and stuff.
Yeah.
And they'd come in and they'd sit down. I always remember like the bag on the table, slapping on the table and the suit and the pen and the paper. And I was struggling myself with writing and reading. And I just felt that like intimidating and not knowing what they're going to write and you're watching them.
And did you, so Sadie, over the years then, I know obviously you mentioned when you were born and you know, in hospital and with your sister, twin sister Kizzy, and then going home to your birth parents. Have you met your birth parents then over the years?
Yeah, so my birth father, he always like kind of kept in touch and he would pop over as much as he could and I knew a lot about him. My birth mother, I wouldn't have really seen a lot of her. My mum and foster parents said that she called out to our house when we were a baby with her sister. But sadly, I don't remember that.
Okay.
And then I remember meeting her. I might have only been, I don't know, 2 maybe. And we went to a HSC building in town. And it's mad because I was only small, but I actually remember, going upstairs. I remember sitting at a table and I had toys at it. And I remember seeing a puff of smoke and I remember high heels because I must have been looking down at the ground. But I remember that anxiety and that just that feeling of like looking down at the ground and not really understanding what was happening. But I don't actually know what age I would have been, but I know from my mum, foster mum, we were very, very young. I was always wanting to know what she looked like.
Yeah.
You know, when I'd be on a bus and I'd be chatting to people and think, God, imagine that could be her. Imagine if that's her. And I remember being the age of 12 and my birth father rang the house to say, sadly, that my birth mother's father had died and that would we be interested in going to the funeral. You know, sadly, we probably did it for the wrong reasons. But we jumped at the chance. Well, we finally get to meet her. So we went to my granddad's funeral, and like my poor brothers, I was like, is that her? Is that her? Is that her? You know, we were so excited. And I remember like we were sitting in the church, and me and my sister, like we were giggling and that, but like, and people were kind of looking at us, and I was like, I'm gonna meet my real mum. But it was in my head. Like, obviously yeah, I didn't say that out loud. But I remember like when I finally did meet her, I felt so sorry for her because it was such shock. She didn't know we were going to be there. She was going through, you know, one of the awful times of her life. She'd already lost her much loved mother. Her mother was just everything to her. And then, you know, she just lost her father. And then, hi, yeah. Where are your children? Your you things. Know, so I really felt so sorry for her. It just wasn't the right time.
Your siblings too that you mentioned, birth siblings, have you met them more over the years or?
Yeah, I meet them like at family occasions and things like that.
Even now, Sadie?
Yeah, we'd still see them, maybe talk on the phone occasionally and stuff like that.
Yeah.
But we all kind of have different lives, you know, it's kind of different. We've grown up families, you know, but there is like that connection when you do meet them, you do have that like rush of emotion, rush of affection for them, you know, and it's like when you're hugging them, it's like you're hugging something inside them. You don't even have to say the words. We all know there's something missing, you know. I suppose that abandonment, that feelings that we all have, and we've missed so much of each other's lives.
It's very difficult. When you look at the foster system, has it changed much, do you think, in more recent years?
Do you know what? They'd like you to believe that it has. And I found like we did a bit of fostering there over the years, and that was one of the things I think that really pushed me to write the book, because when I was fostering, I realised like, oh my God, there really isn't the changes, like the stuff that we went through as a child was still there. So it was like the change of social worker. What I find is like, and they come in and out of your house and they're asking you all these personal questions, and I feel like you've no privacy as a child in care. You have no privacy. And I saw that with the child that we fostered. Social workers are coming in and they're asking you all these questions. And if you don't want to answer them, like, and I remember like they'd come in, they'd ask me all these questions and I'd say, just read my file. I told the last social worker this. And they would say, well, I want to hear it from your words. I'm a new social worker. And
so there's no continuity of care.
No. You just feel so hurt, like so upset. I'd be like, but I don't want to tell you. And then it's like, then you're kind of being argumentative with them. And I saw that too with my child, you know, and talking to other foster parents, the kids are nearly hiding because they don't want the social workers to come. They're just dragging up the past all the time. And it's like, it's not fair. Why can't I just be a normal child? One thing I don't understand, right? And it's something like, I really would love somebody to explain this to me, Andrea. Like, I was on a full care order.
What does that mean?
So the full care order means that mum and dad could hold on to us right up to the age of 18 by everything is going well. But my birth parents had all the rights, like still had so much rights. Like if I wanted to go on holidays, you have to track down my mum to sign the papers, or track down my dad to sign the papers. If I fell and hurt myself, needed an operation, they were still like, I don't know if you say legal guardian.
Yeah.
And they were still involved in my care plan. And I remember like meeting my birth mum in my 20s. And I remember we were having a conversation and I was just talking about like, you know, my life and stuff like that. And I remember her just saying to me, yeah, no, I know. And she goes, yeah, I know you were getting into trouble in school. I know you got kicked out. I know you were self-harming. The social worker told me. And I just remember going, sorry, what? The social worker told you that I was getting kicked out of school. She told you that I was self-harming. You knew all this. And she's like, yeah, because I have to sign your care review. They come to the house and they tell us all about
how you're doing.
Yeah. And I just remember going, But I never knew anything about you. And if I asked any questions, it just feels.
Take your time. You're okay. Take your time.
Just kind of feels unfair because mum and dad are raising me up to the age of 18. They're my legal guardians. Yeah. Like I didn't know that my personal business, like I didn't know that people know all that. And when I got my birth files and I'm reading through them, you know, there's all the care review meetings, all the meetings that they had, and I didn't know that they were writing all this information about me.
Yeah. And that it was being shared and passed on to your birth mum as well. Was it important to you to foster kids too?
Yeah, it's something that I always kind of wanted to do. Yeah. It was just that feeling of like giving something back. But I didn't realise like how hard it is. Like, it's so hard. You know, it's such a lovely thing to do. And I think it's lovely for the foster child as well, because they know, like, you kind of have that connection. Like,
you have a different relationship, I suppose. You know, or you have a special relationship with the kids.
You understand and stuff like that. But I felt like I got, it isn't just about the child. Like, I got thrown back into the...
It was trauma for you, or the whole world of
chaos. Like, the whole system is chaotic. Like, you have your birth child and all of a sudden your own children are pushed out because it becomes all about the foster child, because, you know, social workers are calling, the child has to go to family access, the child might have phone calls with the parents, the child has to go to speech and language, the child has to go to all these different things. And then you're constantly ringing the social workers, you're trying to get them on the phone. And then the child is like, oh, I want to go on a school tour. And it's like, oh my God, panic, because if you don't get those papers signed in time, the child can't go.
Yeah.
And then the child's coming home and saying, everyone's going to know I'm fostered, I don't want people to know. And then your own birth children are just like fending for themselves.
You family of your own, say.
Yeah, so I have three. I have a 21-year-old daughter now. I have, my baby's about to turn 15.
Okay.
And my son is 19.
Okay. So given everything you've gone through and your personal experience, you've decided to document all of this in your own personal book, The Hidden World of a Foster Girl by Sadie Harper. How did it feel putting all this together?
Do you know, it felt like kind of a relief. Like, it took 4 years because I have learning difficulties. It's so healing. Like, it was just so nice to get it out.
Yeah.
You just don't know what's going to unravel and what's going to come out. But I found it hard to put a plug in it, because it was hard to actually detach from it, because it's like, oh my God, after 4 years...
Well, this is your personal story.
Yeah, yeah.
Do you get a little bit of a relief or a little sense of kind of...
Definitely, yeah, I definitely do. And I just feel like I always kind of thought that I had to explain myself to people and like, this is why I am like this and this is why. And I always felt like I had to kind of fight for my place in society. So I was a real like people pleaser, wanted people to like me, fear of rejection, fear of doing something wrong. And now I feel like this is me. So I guess if you want to know more about me, well, this is me.
And the interesting thing is, it's a very honest, I think, reflection of who you are and what you're... Yeah, no, but I think that's what makes it really interesting. And even in listening to you today, and it's a fascinating account of what it's like to, I suppose, in many ways, fend for yourself through the foster care system in Ireland. And I suppose raises a lot of questions about what, if anything, or what much more could change throughout the system that we have. If people listening today want to hear more or read more about Sadie, but also just how the foster system works, The Hidden World of a Foster Girl by Sadie Harper is the book, and that's, you will be able to get it too, of course.
Yeah, it's in Books Upstairs, Dublin 2. It's in the Winding Bookstairs.
As they say, all good bookstores.
Yeah, the book centre.
Sadie, listen, it's been a real pleasure to chat to you today, and thanks million for coming in and sharing some of your story with us, because I know it's not easy. It's a very personal experience and a personal account for you. So thanks a million for sharing that with us in the programme.
Thanks a million, Andrea.
Lunchtime Live with Andrea Gilligan. Weekdays at midday on News Talk.